And now, Forward with Falk. Join Scranton political observer Dave Falk and WFTE's Jake Rosen as they navigate their way through the political thicket. Dave, of course, this week we have a tale of two budgets. We have the federal budget presented by Biden. Well, it's not the federal, it's Biden's budget. And we have Josh Shapiro's budget presented by the governor. Both of them now go to respective legislative bodies. Both of them, like all budgets, both of them indicate what the real social policy of the government is, because the budget is the embodiment of the politics of what the administration proposes really to do. So have you looked at these budgets? Have you thought about each one for itself and in contrast to each other?
Well, yeah. Although there's this Republican talking point that the budget shouldn't be social policy, that the budget just should be dollars and cents.
Yeah, but the dollars and cents are dollars and cents behind some policy.
Well, you know, details.
Ah, right.
Let's start closer to home with the state. And I would think that the Shapiro budget would be described as a moderate budget. The main thing that he had to address was this school funding issue, because the state is supposed to or should be funding about half of the money for the school districts.
That's what it used to be. That's what it was traditional.
Yeah, but it has, you know, right now it's about a third. And thanks to a lawsuit, the fact is that the funding has been ruled unconstitutional and illegal in Pennsylvania because it shortchanges so many districts.
And this funding came about in this way as a result of the Republican Corbett administration a few years ago, right?
Well, that just exacerbated the situation. You know, the Rendell administration was the last one that had more significant amounts going to the public education. But, you know, this one puts more money in across the board, some for specific programs and some just in general. But it leaves the main question to be decided. And the way Shapiro decided to handle that was to say, we need a bipartisan commission or committee to work this out and to come up with a fair funding formula. He kind of kicked the can back to the legislature and in effect said to the legislature, these two things are intertwined. And we need to do both at once, but I'm not going to tell you how to do it. He's put the ball in their court, and I think probably practically, because in order to do it right, it would be such a huge increase at once that he couldn't get it done in one budget. I think he should have at least made some projections down the road. Because he built in a certain number of tax decreases. Again, very nonspecific. He said the corporate tax, which in Pennsylvania is fairly high, 8.99%, but a lot of corporations don't pay that. It's sort of like the federal income tax. The corporations don't pay it. But he didn't say what it should be reduced to. And he maintains property taxes. Now, that's a big deal with the Republicans, because you always hear them say, we want to eliminate property taxes, which is a very popular talking point, particularly among the elderly who are retired and own homes and now have limited incomes. But the fact of the matter is you cannot replace the property tax without significantly raising other taxes, probably the regressive taxes like sales tax would have to shoot way up,
or enforce the corporate tax.
Yeah, and one other thing that they would have to do is they have this thing called the Delaware loophole, which allows these corporations and to evade taxes. And everybody talks about closing it, but no one gets it done because of the lobbying.
And also, there's at least one significant industry which is not taxed, which is the natural gas industry, which has no taxes.
And he did not seem, he did not go against, remember that was going to be Tom Wolf's big thing.
That didn't happen.
And he spent 8 years not doing it or not getting it. So
this is a budget that doesn't increase the school funding. It doesn't have any leadership even. It doesn't even indicate what ought to be done. It just says we should have a conference, like everybody is equal. Isn't it his responsibility as a political leader to say, this is what I want to get done, and we should have a conference to do this thing, instead of just, we should have a conference?
Well, technically it is. And maybe if and when they set up that committee, he comes out with his ideas. But again, I think he's letting the Republicans bear the burden of putting out bad ideas and then trying to override them. How that'll work, I don't know.
Has it ever worked for the good?
I'm not particularly optimistic.
Right.
Now,
exactly.
The one thing though is that the Democrats have control of the state house, which they haven't had in a long time, since what, 2008, something like that.
Something like that.
But it's a very thin margin. But they still have that control. So they control the committees and things like that. And by the way, that became a problem again because one of their own, we mentioned this last week, one of the representatives from Delaware County finally resigned amid a host of sexual harassment charges. Fortunately for the Democrats, since they had a one-vote margin, it doesn't change the balance in the House because there was already a vacancy in one Republican seat. So instead of being 102 to 101, it's now 101 to 100. And both of those seats are going to be filled at the May primary. The Republican seat is a safer district, so there may be a big fight in Delaware County, but one hopes that the Democrats will hold on. And if that's the case, then we will have 2 years of Democratic control in the state house. So we'll see that. One thing I did want to mention about the Shapiro budget, and it's something that I had mentioned a number of times over the last several weeks. And I said John Fetterman should have made this the first bill that he proposed in the Senate, was Shapiro wants to raise the minimum wage in Pennsylvania from $7.25 to $15, effective almost immediately, January 1st, instead of doing gradual raises to like 10 and 12 and whatever. He wants the whole thing in one fell swoop. Pennsylvania lags behind every other state that surrounds us. But I think only New York State in certain instances has a $15. Some are in 10, some are at 8 something. But they've got to raise that somewhere along the line.
So that's in the budget?
Well, technically it's not a budget item.
No, but he made it part of the message.
The message. It's sort of like a state of the Commonwealth message.
Yeah.
Although it technically would raise some taxes, because if you raise income, you raise tax money on that income. So it's a derivative tax, so to speak.
But it also gets paid by workers.
It gets paid by workers, yes.
So you're proposing a pay increase, which will lead to a tax increase, but a corporate tax decline, because you're proposing to cut corporate taxes.
Yeah.
This is not a ringing defense of the working class by the Democrats.
That could be said. You know, the one thing I've noticed.
It will be said. And it's going to be said by the MAGA people who will say to the workers, I'm defending you and they're not.
Well, Yeah,
and no matter how much they lie, they're going to say.
Except they're defending the corporate tax.
Well, of course, they're liars, but they say it. They make the they say it, and the Democrats don't give them a way to defend themselves.
Yeah, but the thing is, you know, when you're looking around us, and you see some of these large corporations bringing new plants and manufacturing onshore, you don't see a lot of that activity in Pennsylvania. Biden was out in Ohio with a new plant on semiconductors. New York State's got a new plant. Remember, Amazon wanted to go to New York. Virginia's getting it, even New Jersey. And you got to wonder what's happening in Pennsylvania that we're not getting these big projects. And it just may be that we don't have an effective leadership in the cabinet positions to go after these things or to make proposals. But you know, it seems fairly obvious that we're not getting those things, and that's important. Now, we have the Biden budget, which, by the way, he came to Pennsylvania to announce. didn't come to Scranton. He came to Pennsylvania, and that one is heavy on tax increases at the upper end of the scale. And there's ads that are running that take from his State of the Union, where he talks about that no millionaire should be paying less taxes than a school teacher or a fireman. And it's a very popular line. So he wants to propose a minimum 25% tax on millionaires, which would effectively eliminate some of their mechanisms for machinations for getting around their tax rates. He wants to raise the upper limit of taxes from 37 to 39 plus. His budget is projecting, though, that it would lower the deficit by $3 trillion over 10 years. And that, you know, which is the opposite of what happened under Trump, where the deficit increased. But they have to stay with this message. They have to, and they have to, as we've talked about, show that every time the Republicans are in, Reagan does a tax cut for the wealthy and the deficit shoots up to record levels. George W. Bush did the same thing, and Trump did the same thing. And it's the Democrats that brought down the deficit, like Bill Clinton and now Joe Biden. So we'll see what happens. Meanwhile, Biden got more news that another 311,000 jobs were created.
What are the Republicans going to do about this? I mean, the budget is still unbalanced, even if the Biden budget would be adopted, which it isn't going to be adopted, right?
Biden proposed a $70 billion increase in defense spending.
Probably not enough for the Republicans, right? Although some of the Republicans, like Marjorie Taylor Greene,
Don't be so sure. You know, they've turned into the isolationist type of.
Well, I was going to say, that's right. Marjorie Taylor Greene and the rest of that gang, they don't want to spend any money in the Ukraine.
Right.
But the fact of the matter is that there's an enormous benefit to that war in terms of the defense industry, because they've run out of ammunition. They've got to gear up these plants to produce ammunition. The American stockpile has been depleted. It has to be replenished.
And one of the prime places where that's being replenished is in downtown Scranton.
In downtown Scranton, that's exactly
right. Or just
right.
off of downtown Scranton. And also there's a Lockheed Martin plant up in Archbald.
Yeah, so the Democrats turn out to be the party of spending for armaments, and the right-wing Republicans turn out to be the defenders of peace. How about that? Wonderful.
Isn't there a plant that makes either helmets or vests up in around Forest City?
I have no idea.
I think so.
But that's not what I was getting to. The point I was getting to was that they don't. The House Republicans don't want to increase the debt limit. The budget definitely is not balanced. No matter whose budget it is, it's not going to be balanced. So you're going to have more borrowing. But the Republicans aren't going to do it. Now what?
Well, that's the thing. They don't want to pay for what has already been spent.
Well, I understand. Absolutely. I want to pay with your credit card, not with my credit card.
Yeah. And that's getting more expensive as interest rates are going up. But they do have a solution. You ask that question. And that solution is have all these investigations that feed raw meat to the base, but don't solve any problems.
Right. You know, they have no budget, right? There's no budget proposal that the House Republicans are seriously considering or putting forward.
Right. They do want to cut, things like school lunches and WIC and those things.
Yeah, they want to cut Social Security. They would like to cut Medicare. They would like to get rid of Medicaid. They want to cut the education budget. Marjorie Taylor Greene wants to get rid of education altogether.
Right.
Leave it to the states.
Right.
But if you did all of that, you still have a budget deficit. That's the problem.
Well, that's because in the budget, the big three items are Social Security, Medicare, and defense.
And well, as far as Social Security and Medicare are concerned, the obvious solution is get rid of the old people. Then you don't have to pay for them, which is, some Republican legislator in the Midwest made a speech 2 weeks ago in which he said it didn't pay to allocate money to kids who were sick because if you cured them with Medicaid funds, they would just be in line for more benefits as they got older. The long-term solution is not to cure them when they're kids. How about that?
Well, it's a type of logic.
Yeah, Nazi logic.
Yeah. So they have that. By the way, the Republicans are trying to find all sorts of ways of cutting Social Security without saying they're cutting it.
Right.
This week, Nikki Haley came out and said, well, we have to change the age. Yeah. But she didn't say how she was going to change it. Well, we know there's only one way to change it.
They're not going to bring it down to 55, are they?
No, they're going to raise it.
What a shock.
Yeah. By the way, your friends in France, the legislature passed a raising of the age.
Where about 2 million French workers went on strike.
Yeah, from 62 to 64.
Yeah. That's not yet settled. They may have passed it, but that's not yet settled.
So.
And that may be Macron's downfall.
Well, yeah. I think this is his last term anyway, but. The big thing is not to keep Macron in business. It's to keep Le Pen out of there.
That's true.
But if Le Pen is
going to stand for lowering the rate, age, then she'll get elected. It's just that simple.
And this is what the fascists do. This is their populism.
That's right. That's exactly right. Well, one of the other things the fascists do, by the way, I don't know if you noticed this. This is not directly related to what we were talking about. We got a new George Santos uncovered in the House, and he's also a MAGA Republican, and he is from Tennessee. He's the third. George Santos, of course, is the world champ. Then there's Anna Paulina Luna from Florida. She got exposed. Right. She forgot what her family background was, and she forgot what her history was, and she forgot what her ethnic background was. But, these things happen.
Well, when you forget it, then you just fill in the blanks with anything.
That's right. Now, this guy, whose name is Andrew Ogles, he just got elected. And when he ran, he said, this is a quote, "People who run for office want power and control so badly that they are willing to say and do anything to get there. If you don't have integrity to just be you and run on what you've done, then I don't want you in Congress. And that's how I present myself to you." Sounds
great. That's a principled stance.
That sounds great. The only thing he told that was not true was he lied about his education. He lied about every single job he had. He lied about being a director of five corporations, three of which didn't exist and two of which existed, but he had nothing to do with them. And he lied about his consultancy experience, of which he had none. He claimed to be the president of an organization that was identified only by four letters. It turned out, upon investigation, it was the condo community he lived in. He wasn't the president, he was in charge of maintaining the pool.
Pool boy.
Pool boy. He claimed to be an expert economist. It turned out he had taken one course in economics in community college. He got a C.
So, I once took care of a swimming pool, and I had a couple of economics courses.
If you had two, then you're eligible for the Nobel Prize.
Yeah, I had micro and macro.
Micro and macro. I mean, what is with these guys?
You know, there's something, and I think the field of psychology has to come up with a description of this kind of sickness, because this is a sickness. This is delusional.
How come it only seems to affect MAGA Republicans? Maybe they just do it badly. Maybe it affects all of them, but only the MAGA Republicans get found out. I don't know.
Yeah, but, you know, with Trump, we've now had narcissism, malignant narcissism developed. It was there, but it's been developed. And with George Santos, we have the other phenomenon of a pathological lying. And
this guy Ogles, he seems right up there with Santos.
He's right up there.
Yeah.
And so first you have to go to the psychologist, then you have to go to the political psychologist and say, what is it that attracts these people? And there certainly is I think, some part of narcissism or ego that says, I can get away with this.
And by the way, what is it about the Republican Party that lets them get away with it?
Well, this is not true for Santos, but I'm sure that Ogles guy.
Well, he got away with it.
He's in a safe district.
Yeah, he's in a safe district. That's true.
And so is Marjorie Taylor Greene.
So if he's in a safe district, how come the Republicans didn't police the safe district?
Because they don't care about policing the safe districts. They just care about, they probably didn't pay any attention to it. They just want the vote.
But there's one thing that American voters, who more or less are indifferent to policy and are tribal, one thing they do care about, and that's corruption and lying. And remember how George Bush was turned upon by a lot of Republicans because he just lied about Iraq, and they all knew it. Everybody knew it. And a lot of Republicans wouldn't support him. Well, lying about stealing money, lying about your background, your education, all that kind of stuff, that really repels people who don't give a damn about anything else, but they do care about that.
But but then when it gets down to the personal part, what about Ogles, or what about Donald Trump, the MAGA mindset would say, well, they all do it. We might as well have our thieves in there rather than their thieves.
Yeah, he's our son of a bitch. Right?
He's our son of a bitch. And, Democrats have done some of that before, too. But,
he's our son of a bitch is a statement from a Democrat.
Yeah. No, we just had... we just had the Democrat resign in Pennsylvania. I talked about that. And but this is really, really something. And it begs to have a scientific paper written, either politically or psychologically. We'd have to see it. But it doesn't matter what party. But all this does is breeds further distrust by Americans into the system, and it allows a pathway for authoritarians to move in.
Enabled by the fact that neither of these two major parties is really a democratically run organization. Both of these organizations, there's no accountability to the rank and file, really. There's no way that – there are no meetings of Republican committees or Democratic committees in which policy is debated that the party should stand for. Whoever becomes the candidate, whatever he believes, that's the party's position. That's the way it works. It's all personality-driven to begin and money-driven to begin with.
Well, that's what it's tended to be. But I'll remind you, and of course 2020 was a weird year because we didn't really have – conventions, but what you used to have when you went to a party convention, and we were in Philadelphia in 2016, if you remember.
I do.
There were breakout sessions on platforms and different issues on platforms, and some of them had fairly hearty debates. Now,
that's
course,
true, but even at, but
once, nobody pays, once, attention,
nobody
to
pays
the platform.
Attention to it. That's right. There's the platform. Nobody even knows what it is.
But at least it's something. Now, of course, in 2020, the Republican platform was Donald Trump.
That's right. There was no platform.
There was no platform. He stood outside the White House, and there was no platform.
And this year, if he becomes the candidate, the platform is, I am your vengeance. That's his platform.
Yeah.
I am your voice. I am your weapon. I am your vengeance.
Yes. Which is fascist.
That's fascism. That's right. That's fascism.
You know, it's Mussolini.
Yeah.
Well,
that's Rambo. You know, that's the Rambo as politician.
Well, yeah. At least Rambo was interested in serving his country, not himself.
Well, but that was the movies.
That was the movies.
Yeah.
That was the movies. You know, but this authority thing, you know, that's what the Steve Bannons capitalize on.
Right. Right.
And he had something happen this, I forget what it was this week. Some more stuff about Steve Bannon, who's, repeatedly, he's out there every day on his podcast, telling people you've got to run. And it's the right way. You start locally and you take over things on a local level.
That's true.
And
speaking of local level, I want to bring you up to date. Oh, you actually brought me up to date.
Yeah.
This is St. Patrick's weekend, right? In Scranton. Not elsewhere, but in Scranton.
Yeah.
And the Friendly Sons of St. Patrick's have a dinner. And who did they not invite to their dinner?
Well, you have to have some background. Traditionally, it was an all-male affair where the drinks flowed very, very freely. I mean, people would not order a beer. They would order a case of beers for the table. And it was always an all-male affair where the head table were the officers of the Friendly Sons and political dignitaries along with whoever the featured speaker was. And they've had some tremendous featured speakers. They had Bobby Kennedy came in 1964. It was his first public appearance after his brother was assassinated. They, up until a couple of years ago, they never had any women at the event. And finally, since they used to invite judges, we now have a bench that has four women judges on it. So they had to open that up. And we have a mayor of Scranton who's a woman.
Who announced this week that she's giving birth in July.
Yes, she's going to have her second child. She's the first mayor to have given birth while mayor. And
she may be the first mayor.
Yeah, they used as a reason that they had a change of venue and the head table configuration might be smaller so that they did not issue invitations to all of the judges. And a week or so ago, they finally issued it to some of the female judges. And I know Mary Walsh Dempsey said, you know, fellas, you didn't issue anything to the mayor. I'm not coming. So this week, they finally sent an email. Talk about something formal. Oh, by the way, you are invited to come and whatever. And Mayor Cognetti said to them, I think not. You know, this is not sincere. I'm going to go to the women's dinner, which is something that the women started maybe 20 years ago as a response to the all-male event. So good for her.
Good for her. And anyway, that's it for this week.
Yes. And if you've missed this show, that means you forgot to set your clocks ahead.
That's exactly right.
But and the debate over daylight saving time continues.
That's right. Anyway, see you next week.
We'll see you next week.
You've been listening to Forward with Falk. Longtime Scranton political observer Dave Falk and WFTE's Jake Rosen discuss politics. Join them again next week, same time, same place.